Welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, William Liu, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors finally got a home victory back in Toronto. First time in over 600 plus days, the Raptors winning at Scotiabank, this time by a score of 118 to 100 against the Indiana Pacers, who have not necessarily started the year well. They're 1-4. The Raptors improved to 2-3. And wow, the Raptors really gave it an incredible effort defensively. This is almost exactly what you would expect to see from the Raptors in terms of their activity on defense. 22 turnovers forced. That gave the Raptors a 12-possession advantage in terms of turnovers, 22-10. The Raptors got 21 more shot attempts up than the Pacers. So even though the Pacers shot a better percentage from the field, 48% to 46% for Toronto, the Raptors just created more advantages with their defense. They won key categories like offensive rebounds, 16-9. Those are more extra possessions for the Raptors. And of course, you mix in some great shot making from Fred VanVleet, who was sensational tonight, 6-7 from three, a number of sweet mid-range jumpers where he crossed the guy up, get him on the back foot, pull up, you know, even driving to the rim a few times. I mean, he got blocked quite a few times, but definitely had the jumper working. You know, OG Anunoby, his shots were falling. Even Delano Banton had a really, really nice shift off the bench 16 minutes where he hit two threes, which is not the strength of his game. So the Raptors played their game plan perfectly. And I think that the most, you know, obvious example of that is just how much DeMontis Sabonis struggled in this game. 9 points for DeMontis on 3-of-4 shooting in 34 minutes. Let me just read you some of the score lines from DeMontis in the previous games this season that he's played. 33 points on opening night against the Charlotte Hornets, 28 points against the Washington Wizards on the second game, 17-12 against Miami in a win, and then 21 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists against Milwaukee. I mean, Sabonis is an all-star player. He was in the all-star game last year, but the Raptors put him in the clamps tonight, 3-of-4. I mean, he only got 4 shot attempts up. A guy like DeMontis Sabonis, who is obviously a scorer from this team, a hub for this offense. You know, he's able to direct traffic through the elbow, play a lot of give and goes, stuff like that. I mean, I think the new coach here with Rick Carlisle isn't necessarily emphasizing him as much there, but definitely a guy who you have to account for in the post, and the Raptors did such a good job of swarming him, double-teaming him. He only had 3 assists against 4 turnovers. And when the Raptors cut off the main guy on the other team, they're really able to then lock in on you defensively. Of course, I have to say, Malcolm Brogdon didn't play for much of the second half because he picked up an injury, and he was hurting the Raptors quite a bit with his ability to get downhill and head towards the rim and finish there. But the Raptors did a really good job defensively against pretty much everybody else. I mean, the rookie, Chris Duarte, he was impressive with some of his shot making, but when you look at the final line, 6-15, you could totally live with that. You could live with Miles Turner giving you 3-7, right, from the center position. That's totally fine. And they just cut off pretty much everything else. I mean, the Pacers got to 100 points at the very end in garbage time, but the Raptors, this was another game this season where the Raptors locked in defensively. The turnovers were huge. The Raptors were able to get out on the fast break. But mostly it was just a really nice defensive effort from the Raptors, who had the starting five working really well. I think, you know, when you look at what Fred VanVleet has done in the last two games, he has taken on a leadership position and he has said, I am going to make sure this team competes. And we saw that it was just not enough against the Chicago Bulls, even though Fred was sensational in the fourth quarter. He had 17 assists. That was a career high. Today, another career high for Fred VanVleet, 10 rebounds. In addition to 6 assists, 26 points in 37 minutes was sensational. I mean, he was only credited for 1 steal, but honestly, he should really be up there for like 4 or 5 steals. There was one possession in the fourth quarter where Fred was so locked in, he made 4 help rotations to cut off 4 separate drives from the Pacers on the exact same play. He just kept being in the right spots to cut off the drive. And then the last one, he deterred the drive to the point where the driver was a little bit slowed, put up the shot, and then Chris Boucher was able to come in and block his layup. So Fred was locked in. He played sensational. I thought OG Anunoby at the start of the game was excellent. Really hot start, just like in the Mavericks game. Defensively, offensively, everywhere, creating deflections. OG Anunoby, 5 steals today, but the 25 points very efficiently as well. 9-21. Playmaking out of the post, catch and shoot threes, drives to the rim, a little post-up, spinning layups. I mean, OG had it going. And the rest of the team just kind of followed suit. I think Nick also shortened his rotation a little bit in terms of he changed it, right? No more Goran Dragic. I'm sorry. I understand every podcast so far on the Raptors show has been a Goran Dragic slander pod. But, like, he hasn't played well enough. And so Nick has the confidence and the trust to go with his rookie, Delano Banton, who the other day when people were asking him, hey, why aren't you playing Malachi? Nick's like, hey, you should ask me why I'm not playing Delano Banton, because he's great. And then today, what did he do? Gives Delano 16 minutes, brings him in the first quarter, brings him in the third quarter. He's consistently in the rotation, and Delano rewards him and rewards that faith with 10 points, 3 assists off the bench, completely changed the energy of the game, blocked TJ McConnell, who is just such a pesky player, and swatted his shot out of bounds. A 6'9", the deflections, the fact that he had 2 threes is just gravy, but the playmaking, I know he only says 3 assists, but there was another 2 plays where he set the guy up to go in for the layup in which they were both fouled. So, you know, that should really be 5 assists. I'm counting for Delano. And it was just a great effort. You know, Kem with the physicality and the paint was really nice. Even Svi had a couple of nice moments, definitely made a couple of steals in the open floor to get himself open. And even Chris, I thought Chris's first shift was really bad. It was really annoying watching the way he was leaking points. But then in the fourth quarter, he turned around and made 2 or 3 great stops at the rim. So this is a great team effort from the team. The Raptors obviously needed this win. Clearly, you know, you just don't want to start off the season 0-4 at home. The Raptors have had great efforts defensively almost every single night. They should have done a lot better against Washington. It was just their offense that let them down. They really almost came back on the Bulls. That game was also quite close. The Mavericks game, they held a lead. They ran out of gas in the second half of a back-to-back. And today, they crushed the Pacers. I thought they swarmed them, they overwhelmed them, and they had themselves an ideal win in terms of how the Raptors want to play. So I will give out the phone numbers to the show, but we already have so many callers. So let's just start there. We got Post from Vancouver.
Hey, Imona.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, hey, well, a great win today. I love the show and love what you and Oscar are doing for the community. Fantastic stuff, right? So the Pacers, wow. Finally, it feels fantastic to finally get a win at home. I've been a really big fan of, like, O'Shea when he was, like, with our team. Unfortunately, it didn't work out, but I'm glad to see him doing really, really well out there. But I did feel kind of bad for the guy today. He wasn't playing the best, I guess, right? Was turning the ball over, getting, you know, pocket picked, and, like, had that, like, really weird foul, which told you probably fouled him, and then accidentally, like, slipped it and, like, sat on them, and then, like, OG went back and, like, blocked his, like, 3 points into the shower realm. That was kind of tough to see a bit, but it, you know, nice wholesome moment, having OG and Nurse checking up on him, making sure he's all right. But yeah, I'm glad he's doing well with the Pacers, maybe not the best night for him today. And we, you know, survived a Jeremy Lamb game, which is fantastic. That's you know, one of the most dangerous teams out there, whichever one employs Jeremy Lamb, and great game all around, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, first off, thank you for the kind comments up top. I think, listen, Jeremy Lamb has been a certified Raptor killer from the days when he had back-to-back game winners against Toronto in their championship season, I think. He only played 16 minutes. I was very thankful for that. Naturally, 12 points in those 16 minutes. Every time he play the Raptors, he's going to be the Gerald Henderson Award winner. O'Shea, I mean, look, I think O'Shea, the fact that he wasn't very efficient or successful today is a sign of how physical the Raptors were in the paint. But the Raptors just completely dominated the Pacers in the paint, which is strange because you would think the Pacers, with them starting 2 centers, with them having a big front court or the back court in Malcolm Brogdon and Chris Duarte, who are both like 6'6", you would think that they would be able to play physically in the paint, but the Raptors actually handled them there. And that's generally where O'Shea is the most effective, I feel like. He can bang bodies a little bit down low. He's quick for a power forward. And, of course, his three-point shot has improved generally, but not the greatest homecoming for Chris today. He did get a nice little tribute video courtesy of Canada Basketball, I think sometime in the second quarter there, showing some of his highlights with the program. So, you know, I think, look, I'm happy for O'Shea because – it didn't fully work out with the Raptors, but he seems to have really locked down with the Pacers. And, I wish him success, just not in the games against the Raptors. Let's go to our next caller. We have Sarouche from Montreal.
Hi. I'm on.
How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm feeling great. I'm always great after wins.
That's great, man. I wanted to talk a little bit about Scotty Barnes, because I remember in the pre-draft process when everyone was talking about Jalen Suggs being the unanimous pick, I kind of wanted to watch a little bit of his games at Florida State. And it's absolutely unbelievable to me how he's basically doing the worst at everything that he was told, that we were told he was going to be amazing at. He was known as a defensive prospect and a guy who's huge but can facilitate. And I think right now his two least NBA-ready skills are off-ball defense and half-court facilitation. And he's just really good at everything else. And it's really interesting because you know he has flashes as a playmaker. Like in the first few games, he had this pass where he was like in the air and he had a touch pass really similar to the one he did with OG in, I think, the fourth quarter today. Mm-hmm. You can tell he's got like flashes as a playmaker, so you know that's going to come around eventually. So to see him be so advanced as a scorer from the outset is like really, really encouraging to me. It's really, really impressive what he's done. And also his jumper, which for some reason just looks good, even if he's not making it. It's so weird. Like, yeah, that's pretty much.
Yeah, well, first off, thanks for the call. Yeah, absolutely. I think that it is interesting because that is – there's a lot about Scotty that people projected coming out of college, or people sort of concluded based on his college play that hasn't necessarily translated. I think actually one key thing is Scotty has just improved a lot since college. I think one thing that David Thorpe, who was probably the first – probably the most bullish on Scotty. I think he had him number two on his board before the draft. One thing that David Thorpe mentioned when he was sort of scouting Scotty was that there was not a lot of development time in the college season last year due to COVID restrictions. It's only a certain amount of time players can get into the gym, players can work out with coaches. And of course, you're a student as well. I mean, obviously, student athletes aren't as focused as, like, let's say your traditional student would be necessarily. But still, having said that, like, there just wasn't as much time to focus on just the actual basketball element of it. And I think with what you're seeing from Scotty is that he has really worked on just everything basketball. First off, his body, he's developed physically, even from just when he was at the college level. And then in terms of the skill set, the ball handling has been really strong. The speed at which he's played with is really strong. And then the main thing for Scotty is just the mindset has changed, because when he was at Florida State, it was a lot more of a point guard style of mindset. Get everybody involved, set everyone up, sit at the top of the floor. Some of the stuff you still see with today, right, with the Raptors. Like today, Scotty had a great pass at the top of the floor where he kind of gave Gary Trent a head nod, then fed him a nice little pass, leading him on a back cut to the rim where Gary was able to get in for easy layup. He still had all that. But the mindset change now is that he has just got to drive and beat his man. And I love seeing Scotty drive. I want to see 15 drives per game from Scotty Barnes, because one, he's young. You can handle 15 drives, no problem. Two, he's just so strong. Like, there's one play early in the game where he had Domantas Sabonis on him, and you're like, well, that's not necessarily a mismatch, right? Especially if Domantas is going to sit back and sort of play the drive. Well, that's fine. You can sit back and get Scotty. Scotty will drive into the man, into a guy who's at least 6'10", 250, like Sabonis, maybe even more. He drives so hard, he pushes Sabonis past the baseline. And even though Scotty missed the first shot, he's in prime position to get his own rebound and get the putback. And then the amount of time Scotty drives and goes to the basket, he's so strong he can get his own shot off on balance, and it looks great for him. And I think that's what Nick wants to do too, because look, in a lot of these settings, he's getting guarded one-on-one. And there's just, even as a rookie, there's not a lot of players, defenders in the NBA, who can match up with Scotty Barnes. So he's being able to dominate people physically. And tonight was a great example of that. Scotty was excellent. 18 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 blocks. Everything you could ask for from a rookie. So next caller, let's get Jesse from Vancouver.
Hey, Will. How are you doing?
Feeling great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. So I want to talk a little bit about this triangle defense that we're seeing that Nick Nurse is deploying. It's very similar to what we see in the EPL when we're watching soccer, just getting three men around the ball. And this seems to happen a lot now that we have the length and the ability and the agility and the speed on defense to really trap the defender. And I think we've seen this a couple of times, especially in this game, surrounded around Domantas Sabonis. We just saw him get trapped. And whether it was him looking for the pass, he'd look out and he saw hands. If he was did get the ball out, is either tipped. And that's why I think Scotty somehow didn't get a single steal in this game, but he got a lot of tipped balls and a lot of passes into the lane where they could have gotten it in there to the man inside, but there's just too much length and too much agility in the way. What are your thoughts on that?
Hey, look, I think that's very interesting, first off, in terms of taking something from another sport, but principles that kind of apply across different sports. I think that obviously is something you could do a lot more in soccer, especially in the midfield. There's more, obviously, you could definitely stack the midfield, for example. It depends on what formation you want to put out. This is not about that. I think the triple teaming today worked really well in the sense that they gave Sabonis no space to play. I mean, he only had 4 shot attempts, which is incredible. That speaks to the physicality the Raptors played with, keeping him away from the basket. But also, the Raptors just swarmed him, right? Because he just had no place to actually pass the ball. And that's what Sabonis does so well, is these dribble handoffs. He gets in the paint, draws a double. He's a real passer. I mean, look, his dad is literally Arvidas, right? One of the best passing big men of all time. But yeah, the Raptors did a really good job of it. And if you actually notice, in terms of the style of play the Raptors had on him, early on, it was a lot more one-on-one against Sabonis, right? Maybe the Raptors weren't as quick with the double teams. So he actually did get like 3 or 4 baskets in the first quarter. I don't think he had a single point after the first quarter. I might have to double check on that. Maybe he had one more basket. But what that says is that the Raptors have really good help defenders, which is, you know, the length, but it's also the smarts. Because one of the guys that's always helping is Fred VanVleet. He helps so much. And he was swarming Sabonis so often, right? So he kind of takes like anything underneath. If any player, especially bigs, want to put the ball on the floor and take one dribble to get themselves a little more balance, to get themselves a little bit more, positioning to let them be able to pivot. Anytime anyone puts it on the floor, Fred is there. Anytime they expose the ball down low, Fred is there. And then you have another huge wing defender that comes in and takes away a lot of Sabonis' space. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is what the Raptors want to do, is like if they want to be huge. Like if you look at the rotation today, right, Fred obviously is the smallest player. He's the smallest player pretty much in every single game. But we know that even though Fred is 6 foot tall, his hands are 6'9". Like he just has some of the best hands in the NBA, bar none, right? Everybody else who played was at least 6'6". Gary Trent, 6'6". Svi Mihailuk, 6'6". And then who's your backup point guard? It's Delano Banton. He's 6'9". Ken Burch is your backup center. He's 6'9". Chris Boucher is your backup power forward. He's 6'9". That's the whole team. The whole team today, right? And that's part of the reason why you want to take out some of the other weaker defenders on the team. Like, for example, Goran Dragic, not only is he old, he's just not as big. So when you replace him with Delano, all of a sudden you have one less place for the offense to go. And I think Nick really wants to get to a point where all 5 positions, there are no places to attack on the team. Because when you do that, then all of a sudden you're really cycling through empty possessions offensively. You turn it over and the Raptors profit. So that's the strategy the Raptors want to go with. All right, let's go to Daryl from Mississauga.
Hey, Will. What's up? I just want to say, first of all, that I've been following you since Raptors Republic. Big fan, hey. Huge fan. And hey. It's so inspirational to see where you're at now, doing the best Thank Raptors you. Content. So,
thank you.
My question, also Scotty related, as I'm sure everyone's interested in right now, but more so when Pascal comes back, do you think that they're still going to fit him in the starting lineup somehow? But more importantly, I would assume that Nurse would want to get Pascal, OG, and Scotty in the closing lineup together with Fred and then whoever's, you know, whatever the matchup is for the fifth man, if it's a big man or if it's Gary or, you know, whatever. That fifth guy's, changeable. But for the starting lineup, would OG sliding to the 2 be unrealistic, or is it just that Scotty's going to have to come off the bench?
You know what? That's a good question. I don't know if I have a good answer for it just yet. I don't know if Nick has a good answer for it just yet. For me, I want to see the Raptors prioritize their defense. So if it's me, I will take Gary out of the starting 5. I'll put Pascal in. If you put Pascal in for Precious, I understand that as well. That just does mean, though, that one of Pascal or OG, or maybe Scotty, has to guard the center. Now, I think all three could probably do it, but the Raptors have really enjoyed putting Scotty on point guards. Like today, for example, he was on Malcolm Brogdon. And part of that is that you have the quickness and the length to cut off a lot of his drives. And then also he's strong, right? So against a big point guard like Brogdon does a really good job of getting downhill, muscling people. And Scotty's so strong, he can kind of equal that. Now, having said that, Brogdon still got a couple of driving layups against him today. He's that good. And then off the bench, obviously, you have Delano, who was able to use his quickness and length to smother TJ McConnell. With Pascal coming back, I mean, look, I don't even know if either of them are the wrong answer here. I mean, Precious is giving you good production, right? Even today, 10 and 6 for him in 28 minutes. I thought he did a good job defensively. You could put Pascal in for him, or you could put Pascal in for Gary. My concern for right now in the starting five is that, especially at the starter games, it does seem like it's just Fred and OG taking turns trying to attack, which is good. I think those guys want to get the team rolling and then hand it off and let everyone else carry it. Like today was a great example of how that works. But you put Pascal into that group, all of a sudden you have three guys who kind of do that. You know, I think that is something that helps you. I think especially with the way Pascal plays, he's going to be playing downhill. He's going to be posting up. He's going to be maybe even playing some pick and roll. And so I think you get more of a downhill presence, you know, in terms of going to the rim. And so if you do have that, though, I do think that I am a little bit concerned about how much shooting is on the floor. If you, for example, put Precious in for Gary, right? Then if you think about Pascal, he's kicking out to Fred, he's kicking out to OG. But if either of those two guys swing the ball to someone who isn't OG or Fred, Scotty's not really a threat from three, and Precious not really a threat from three. So those are considerations that Nick has to make. But to be honest, I think it's going to be a good problem to have. I think right now, this season, the way the guys are shaping up, I actually really like seeing the Raptors play in the post, play downhill, play attacking basketball, because we've seen how effective OG has been posting up, right? Today, even, for example, you know, got a couple of baskets that way. He seems to have a reverse layup now all of a sudden. Scotty obviously driving downhill, but he can post up as well and, you know, get to that sort of second block area, edge of the post, you know, 8-10 feet extended, get a good shot off from there. And, of course, Pascal has, you know, that's his office essentially, right? He loves playing in that elbow area, driving downhill, face up, back to the basket, all that kind of stuff, spin move. So I do wonder how much they're going to be able to, like, keep all the possession, keep all of them effective if, when they all kind of want to play in their same area. But ultimately, Pascal is actually the most talented offensive player on this team. So I think that's only going to help this team. And, I mean, just defensively, the idea of starting as a group, forget the offense for a second, defensively, you got Precious, you got Pascal, OG, Scotty Barnes, and Fred VanVleet. If that's your starting five defensively, I don't know where teams go. Like, I really don't know where teams go. Unless it's Joel Embiid posting up and drawing a double team, I don't know where teams go, because you are going to be having a nightmare against that group. And I think that's exactly how the Raptors want to be built. So I think it's a good time for us to take a quick break. You've been listening to the Raptors Reaction Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. When we come back, more of your listener questions and also the three stars of the game. Welcome back to the Raptors Reaction Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We are taking your calls after the Toronto Raptors put away the Indiana Pacers by a score of 118-100. And let's get to it. Sophia from Brampton, what's going on?
Hey, Will, what's up?
I'm doing great, Sophia. How you doing?
I'm so happy we finally won a game. And of course, it had to be the one game I wasn't there. But anyway, I wanted to talk to you about Freddie. I think Freddie, the way that he's progressing from being, well, starting from like bench mob to starter shooting guard to full-on point guard now, it's kind of amazing. Honestly, I wasn't ever really a fan of Freddie. Nothing against him personally, but whenever he played, especially in the 2019 to 2020 season, I found he did a lot of hero ball and just a lot of miscalculated shots or dunking, trying to dunk over like Taco Fall in the Celtics series, for example. But I found that, like, especially with Kyle gone, like, I was surprised how quickly he became like efficient at passing and just being a lot more unselfish and playing better as a point guard. I know there was a lot of doubt that he would be a good point guard, and a lot of people preferred him to be at the shooting guard position. But like, I feel like this game is really a testament to how hard he's worked. And even Kayla mentioned, there was a quote from Freddie that like the hardest thing about this year is not like playing the 42 minutes a game. It's the staying in the gym, watching more film, and having to take on all the extra load that he had to take after Kyle left. And I feel like he's adapting beautifully, and we get to see the fruits of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I've always been someone that has believed in Fred VanVleet ever since what I saw during the Bucks series, specifically games 4, 5, and 6. And then definitely what I saw at the NBA finals, obviously, in 2019. I think Fred is going to have his detractors. I'm sure even today some people were pretty upset with Fred when he drove to the basket a few times and got blocked. I mean, there's one play where Fred was – he thought he had beaten his man because he kind of snaked the pick and roll, which is when he uses a screen in the middle of the lane from Precious Achiuwa. And he thought that had Miles Turner off his tail. But I think Miles Turner blocked him so bad, it was like a volleyball block. You know, when you jump up in the air with the two hands, and two hands just kind of like block the spike. Yeah, that's basically what happened with Fred. So people are going to get upset about some of those things, and that's fine. I think those are things that you can really do want to see avoided or cut down and things like that. But what you need to see from Fred as the leader of this team is that aggressiveness, driving downhill, creating plays, being active defensively, and just showing that leadership. Because, look, part of being the number one leader for this group is to set the intensity for the group. I thought Fred tonight gave you a Kyle Lowry type of performance. And you know what? Fred is good enough as his own player that he doesn't always have to compare to Kyle. But this is kind of what Kyle would do in some of these games. Do whatever it takes to win. Like, look at Fred today. 4 offensive rebounds from the shortest guy on the floor. You know, the Pacers only had 9 offensive rebounds as a team. He grabbed half of that number as the shortest guy on the floor. He's really good. I don't know what else to say. I mean, look, I think the shooting percentages are going to be low because of the fact that he's not going to be that effective around the basket, but he gets downhill quite a bit. He creates openings for other guys in terms of he drives downhill, collapses the defense, kicks it out, open threes. That happens multiple times per game. And then you see the shot making from him today because, of course, the Raptors do need some perimeter shot creation, right? Because OG has struggled with it at times. Gary Trent is hit or miss, literally. Today it was a miss for him in terms of he had a lot of open shots, didn't hit them. So it's down to Fred. And Fred did a great job of getting downhill, crossing people up. Even if it doesn't necessarily look like he has an advantage, he's so strong, he just kind of keeps pushing through it until he's around the corner. And then he crosses over while they try to recover on him. And he got the mid-range game down as well. He's using the mid-range a lot more this season, which is something you need to see from him as a lead guy. He's not always going to get to the rim, right? And one of the reasons is because teams are sitting back on him. So if they sit back on him, use the mid-range game, because then they'll think twice about, hey, if I just wait here at the basket and wait for Fred to drive into me and block a shot, well, why not get that chance if he's going to hit the mid-range jumper? Let me take one step out, and that's when Fred gets even more downhill, collapses the paint, and kicks it out. So Fred's great. I think especially in terms of his leadership with this group, in terms of his defense with this group. Again, I'm sure there have been many other possessions where players have dominated defensively. But to me, the play of the game tonight was Fred VanVleet making 4 help rotations to cut off 4 separate drives from the Pacers. I'm going to go back and clip that later tonight when I get a chance to rewatch this game, because that was sensational. And of course, it ended up with Chris Boucher getting the block, and that's great. And that was a great play by Chris. But that whole play was made by Fred. And the kind of determination you need, the kind of smarts you need to make 4 help rotations effectively as a 6-foot guard, is unbelievable. I'm a huge fan of Fred VanVleet. So let's go to our next caller. We have Matt from Halifax.
Yeah, Matt. Hi. That game was amazing, and I'm trying to stop myself from going over the top with what I see the potential for this team.
Don't stop. Come on, man. Be excited. Be excited.
No. I'm very much excited, but like I went from like in the third quarter, I felt really good. I finally felt like we're going to probably play it. Home court advantage in the playoffs, first round. That could be a very realistic possibility. But by the end of the game, I was thinking, like, dynasty. So I skipped a couple steps. But I can't believe how, like, how is Scotty Barnes so good?
Yeah, I know, right? Well, like, I think he's just so much like more physically developed than most rookies. Like, he's bumping guys. He's like, it's a bumper car watching him drive. Even if he misses, he gets his own rebound.
Honestly, he's more physically developed than 90% of the NBA, I think, already.
Yes.
And he's 20,
yeah.
Right? He's 20. Like, the players the Raptors drafted, Fred VanVleet, which honestly plays like he's 6'10", and he's got a better post game than most post players somehow. Debatably. I mean, sometimes it just happens, sometimes it really doesn't, but then he just shoots 80% from three for the night and makes it all good. But this team, I'm fully bought in on the philosophy, like the pace and space, 6'10", forward, positionless basketball.
Yeah, I think that's a style that's going to work, because you saw it today against the Pacers. They have two bigs on the floor. They're not as fast because they're playing two bigs, traditional bigs. And with the way the Raptors are going to be able to help and shrink the floor with their length and with the way they're smart on the defensive end, like, yeah, I mean, this is kind of what I expect to see from the Raptors, quite honestly. This is probably what we saw from the Raptors in previous games as well. And I think it really is for Nick is to, even though he has the vision for this style of play, even for him as a coach, he almost has to trust his own vision a little bit more, because we saw him make a relatively brave move. You bench a 15-year veteran like Goran Dragic, game 5 of the season, and then you replace him with a rookie from the second round, Delano Banton, 46th pick. And it works. It works. And because the Raptors are now suddenly huge, like absolutely huge on every side of the floor. Goran and Svi, the combination of them defensively has not really worked. You take one of the bad defenders off, you replace him with a good defender. All of a sudden, you know, the bench is clicking, right? The bench wasn't even great today, but at least they weren't bad, right? We've seen a lot of games where the Raptors bench has been sort of bad. I thought the Bulls game, the Raptors bench kind of gave it up. The Mavericks game, the bench kind of gave it up. Today, you know, not only because of Delano, I think other guys play better, right? This was a better game from Boucher. This is why he got 18 minutes today instead of like 5 or 8 or whatever Nick is giving him these days. Kem was solid as well, as you expect. And Delano, of course, came in and changed the energy. Svi was better as well. But, yeah, I mean, I think Nick has to believe in it too, because the bigger this team plays, the better they're going to be. And I liked what I saw from Delano today quite a bit. The 2 threes, obviously, are really nice. But just the drives, the speed at which he plays downhill. There's one play where the Raptors got scored on, so they had to take the ball out. Inbound to Delano. And there's a couple of Raptors just kind of sauntering up the floor. I remember Chris was one of those Raptors who was kind of just like, okay, let's go. You know, there's not going to get a transition opportunity here. I mean, we just got scored on. The defense is set, right? No. No. Because Delano was going to say, I just reject that idea. I'm going to get the ball. I'm going to race up the floor. 2-3 seconds past half court. You know, get up to the floor in like 21 seconds off of the shot clock. And just like literally burst and beat every single player down the floor and had a one-on-one with TJ McConnell. And, you know, got an and-one to fall through the contact. They didn't get the free throw, so not an and-one. But that's the kind of mindset you want from Delano. You want to play fast. You want to guard. You want to rebound. You want to run. And, honestly, I haven't seen a rookie run this much like Delano since rookie Pascal. So I really enjoy what I'm seeing from him. And, of course, there's going to be bumps because he's such a, you know, unorthodox point guard, considering the fact that he doesn't shoot the ball all that much. He doesn't shoot the ball that well. He's not really a slow it down kind of run a pick and roll kind of player, but doesn't need to. He plays in a different way. I mean, he had another really nice pass today where, man, he's trying to set up a play on one side of the floor, and then boom, he picks out, I think, Precious on the dunker spot, and he goes in for a layup. So very fun, man. And I think Caleb from Toronto is going to be very excited about Delano, maybe even more than I am, because what I'm seeing here in the chart is that you have Delano Banton as the next – as a Canadian KD. Come on, what's going on?
What's up, man? It's Talo, but William Liu, big fan here. First of all,
thank you
for waving left at the Chicago Bulls game. I was at the game. Appreciate you waving. I know you saw it.
All right.
That was in the corner. But one thing, Delano Banton, Canadian KD. We've had the Brazilian KD come and probably fade very quickly. Is this the real deal? Can we hype this guy up? He gets a louder ovation than I think DeMar returning to Toronto sometimes. That's what I felt like.
Yeah, well, first off, I mean, come on. Like, DeMar should always get a louder ovation, you know, just based on what he's done for this team. But, I mean, look, the city obviously loves Delano Banton, right? This guy's going to be in a Drake lyric very soon. I can already feel it. He's already been in his house, I guess, so that's a plus. Yeah, no, Delano is really exciting. I wouldn't go with Delano with the Canadian KD. You got to, you know, come on now. That's not fair to anybody, really. But, I mean, I understand the enthusiasm with him. Absolutely. To me, the comparison ends with he doesn't play like KD. It's a little different style. If anything, he's more Westbrookian, right, in how fast he is, changing ends of the floor. His defensive energy is really solid, really strong. He's, you know, got up for a block today against TJ McConnell. That was great. Had a deflection right before that. He's just everywhere. He's tough, and he plays fast. And I think, you know, for him, the more he plays in transition, the better he will be. I think, obviously, you know, one of the things with him this season has been, you know, working with assistant coach Earl Watson, getting him to play faster, faster, faster. And it takes a certain savvy to play that fast while also not making mistakes. But Delano is doing that right now. You know, he's getting downhill. He's making great plays. And he's getting to the rim, which is something that the Raptors' other guards, you know, struggle with at times. You know, I think Fred has done a decent job of it, but you also know that Fred finishing at the basket is going to be a little tough. He can get to the rim, but finishing there is going to be tough. But Delano, he just runs. He just runs for days. And even the small things, I think, you know, coaches will appreciate about him. And I know when Alex hears this back, he's going to clown me because he told me not to put this in 10 things or anything. But even something simple like feeding the post, you would not imagine how many times players have their hand up, they're posting, they got their man sealed, put their hand up, hey, give me the ball. And the guy on the wing, for one reason or another, just is unable to feed it in. They swing it around, all of a sudden, you know, that has a down effect on the team, right? The guy who's posting up now feels upset because, hey, I have great position here, why are you looking me off? And then, you know, the possession's probably not going to look that great because you're just swinging on the perimeter. Delano comes in this first quarter. OG has been feasting in the post. You know, he's got TJ McConnell in jail, basically. And TJ's trying to swipe him, whatever. And TJ's a disruptive player, but smaller than OG. Delano with a nice feed to OG, gets him into the post. OG's able to drive, gets inside. I don't think the Raptors got the score off of OG, but because OG was collapsing the paint and drew the help, I think the Raptors got a put back off of that. Next play down, OG's in the post again. You know, Delano feeds him, this time with a nice little bounce pass, right-handed. And I know this is simple. I know this is so ridiculous to praise a guy for just feeding the post, but it's the little things that coaches are going to love, coaches are going to really appreciate. And if you're the point guard like Delano is, that's your job. Like, that's your job. I know it's not sexy to talk about post, you know, feeding the post, but that's what keeps the offense flowing. That's what keeps your team efficient. That's what keeps your teammates happy. You think OG's not happy about getting the ball in the post after he's working hard down there? Of course he is, right? So I think, look, the Delano is exciting, and I think I'm very happy that Nick has made this sort of push so early to get him into the game, get him into the rotation, because he is a guy who fits what the Raptors want to do, and he's a guy who changes the energy of the game every single time that he's come into the game. I think he's come into the game, played five games all right now, right? He's played in all five games, and he's changed the energy all five times. That's not easy to do, and it's something that Delano has done for the Nick, and he should keep going back to that. So let's go to our next caller. We got Devroot from London. What's going on?
Hey, Will. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great. Always great afterwards. Always.
Yeah, for sure. First off, I just want to let you know that I appreciate the consistent, high-quality content that you deliver, especially you and Alex. I want to shout out Alex. Your guys' segments are so funny, and I really hope you follow through on that Big Mac challenge. I'm really looking forward to the results on that one.
I'm going to make sure, but he keeps delaying it. But he won't avoid me for too long.
Okay. So I just wanted to talk about a couple players from tonight. I think you guys already touched on some of the players with previous callers. Like Fred, you were talking about how his performance was like really Lowry-esque tonight. And that was one of the points I wanted to bring up, because I really think it was Lowry-esque in the sense that who's really digging in with the help defense in the post and just being very tenacious and always going after it. So I think that, like, you can really visibly see Lowry's game translate into Fred's game. Like, obviously Fred's his own player and he develops his own game, but it feels really good because you can see how much Kyle passed on down to him. And I really think that's cool. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I thought a long time ago that the Raptors have been trying to clone Kyle and Fred VanVleet. Like, and it should be like a Raptors tradition. Like, it should be like a family heirloom within the Raptors organization that whichever point guard is in, they're going to be super scrappy, super gritty, hit the three, play unselfish, defend, be very smart. And then, you know, I'm sure one day will come where we're going to have the next Fred. But as of right now, yeah, Fred's doing a great job with the group. And I think that it's been really difficult for Fred to make this jump because he doesn't have Kyle around to lean on. He doesn't have other players to set him up right now, right? Nobody's really setting up Fred. Fred is setting everyone else up. No one's setting up Fred. He has to set up himself. So the fact that he, you know, is pretty much getting it all on his own tonight, 26 points on 18 shots, including 6 of 7 from three, hyper efficient game from Fred. And so I think it's a mindset thing for Fred, but it's also just for him specifically, he knows what it means to lead a group. He is a natural born leader. Some people just have that gift. And Fred is one that has that gift. The Raptors have cherished that gift. They have shown faith in signing him 3 times now. And yeah, he is going to be the leader of this group. And I thought the last 2 games here, Fred has done such a good job of leading the team. I guess even in the Celtics game too. I loved his performance in the Celtics game. So, you know, you'll never hear a shortage of praise for Fred from me because he does all the things that you want. Except for maybe finish at the rim. But hey, listen, how many times do you want a 6-foot guard shooting at the rim anyway, right? Like, clearly, he does everything else well. So that does it for our callers today. I wanted to touch on two of the texts that we received as well before we get to 3 stars and wrap the show. We got RJ writing in. Hey, Will, does Banton playing like this seal the deal for Malachi to go to 905 and Banton staying with the second unit? Well, I think Nick right now wants to win, period. And I don't necessarily mean that that's, you know, he's not trying to develop guys, but I think you can win and develop. I think the Raptors truly believe that because that's their whole philosophy. And with Delano, he's played well, and Malachi needs reps. So it makes sense to send Malachi down to the G League. I mean, it probably is not what we anticipated in the summer, right? For example, when we're watching Summer League and Malachi starting and Delano's coming off the bench, and you look at how raw Delano was and you look at how polished Malachi was, you're like, okay, yeah, of course. You know, we know how this is going to go. We're going to have Delano going down to the G League so he can tighten things up and maybe he'll come in later on, or Malachi, you know, he's going to be solid. He's going to be the backup point guard or whatever. But it's been the opposite. Malachi has not necessarily had Nick's trust. And the one way you earn it is to get on the floor and play. Like, I don't really need to see Malachi coming on the floor and getting up extra shots after games. That's going to show the coach a lot less than you going down to the G League and lighting it up the way he did last time when he was averaging like 25 and whatever, right? So, yeah, I think right now the Raptors, with the way they are, they're probably going to send Malachi down and Delano's going to stay up. And I'm cool with that, especially if Delano's going to get to play. Like, if he gets to play 15 minutes a game and be effective, yeah, there's no way the Raptors send him down to the G League. And then the next one from Ali from Ottawa. Big game from your top three guys. The defensive identity of this team is limitless. Adding Pascal and Yuta to this group has me excited for their potential. Even in their losses, this team has shown signs of legit defensive terror. The boys had Sabonis in hell all night. And so I also wanted to shout out Vitaly from Moscow. Definitely shout out Vitaly from Moscow. I know he was excited watching this game at 2 a.m. in the morning. Hopefully his wife didn't go to sleep at halftime this time. It was a pretty good second half for the Raptors. So, yeah, I mean, this is the whole identity. Play great defense and then just be decent offensively. And the Raptors have not held up their end of the bargain offensively, but defensively they've been great. This is exactly what you expected from the group. So in terms of the game tonight, your 3 stars. First star, we went to Fred VanVleet, 26 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 offensive rebounds for the shortest guy on the floor, 10 of 4, 18 from the field, 6 of 7 from 3. It's good to see his 3-point shot normalized. Again, this is when you look at small samples and you're like, hey, he's shooting 22% from 3 in this season. He has one game where he goes 6 of 7, and now all of a sudden he's at 35%. So, you know, but yeah, Fred was awesome. I just so awesome on both sides of the floor. A close second for me was OG Anunoby, second star, 25 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 5 steals, a block. I mean, yes, offensively it was great. We've been talking so much about OG's offense, you forget sometimes how good he is defensively, because the disruption, the help defense he played in the post tonight was excellent, crowding the paint. But there was a sequence at the end of the first half there where he got out and jumped so high to block the three. I think it might have been from O'Shea Brissett, blocked the three. Then on the ensuing possession, he locks him down again, cuts off the lane, and then blocks the three again. I think that came just after the halftime buzzer, so it didn't count as a block. But OG was a terror on both ends of the floor tonight, and he fully deserves that second star. And then your third star, I mean, it's going to go to Scottie Barnes, but I wish there was a fourth star for Delano Banton. But Scottie Barnes, I mean, come on, 18.7 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 blocks. The physicality going to the basket is awesome. The dunks going to the basket, it's exhilarating watching Scotty. It really, really is. And then, of course, I thought he had the other play of the game, which was he was cutting through on the roll off a feed from Fred VanVleet. And then while midair, he threw a touch pass perfectly to the corner to OG Anunoby, who was able to catch the three because OG's defender was trying to slide over to cut off Barnes. The high level of reading the play there, not only to make the good cut, not only to be athletic and big to catch the pass from Fred, and then to read the play and instantly throw that touch pass, it's beautiful stuff. That's what basketball is about, sharing the ball and playing as a team, attacking as a group. So that was great. And then your Gerald Henderson Award winner, I already said it up top, but it should be the Jeremy Lamb Award at this point. I mean, 12 points in 16 minutes, 4 of 6 shooting, 2 of 2 from 3. He's I don't know, he's just so chill. He's so quiet. He's a little sleepy-eyed, and then, you know, you don't notice him, and then all of a sudden he comes in the game, and he's just hitting every tough jumper against the Raptors. It's been going on for 5-6 years, and I, really dislike it. So that does it for the Raptors Reaction Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Once again, I want to remind you that you can listen to the Raptors Show every day between 2 and 3 p.m. with myself and co-host Alex Wong. You can subscribe to the podcast wherever you find podcasts. We want to remind you to continue to rate, review, and share the show as well. But seriously, rating, it does such a big thing in terms of podcasting, in terms of keeping us high in the charts, letting other Raptor fans find the show. And so thanks everyone for calling in. And that does it for this Raptors win over Indiana.